Blog Talk Radio.
Journey for just over 2 years now. In that time, I've managed to lose nearly 400 pounds with nutrition from whole foods, lots of water, and a moderate to vigorous fitness plan. I have become a health activist, safe foods advocate, speaker, writer, and now have been involved with producing a new and upcoming docu-based lifestyle realization show called Big Dreams. Big Dreams Radio's forum deals with healthy lifestyle choice and life after significant weight loss. Topics include health and nutrition, fitness and exercise, safe nutrient-dense foods and organics, sustainability and green initiatives, holistic healing and naturopathy, weight loss alternatives including weight loss surgery, whole foods, and nutritional life plans. My big dreams include reaching out to those still in desperate need of motivation and inspiration in making that mind, body, food, and fitness connection in order to get themselves turned around in the right direction towards health and wellness. I wish to help these individuals with chronic disease problems identify their poor lifestyle and nutrition choices while providing the information to help correct these, helping to educate them on how true and sound nutrition can eliminate them. Weight and related issues being one of our main focuses and specialties, we hope to motivate, speak, and inspire people to take back control in their lives and redirect them to the maximize and optimize their health and well-being. I encourage them to believe in themselves because ultimately it all begins and ends with the brain, our control center. And although in order to have complete balance or homeostasis, we need to create an equilibrium in all three main phases, mind, body, and spirit. So let's take that journey together and explore the many areas of healthful living so that we all can live out better lives and become the best that we all can be.
Welcome, this is Steve Sirdropoulos-Nicander, the health minister here on Big Dreams Radio. I want to welcome you all. Kind of really excited. Every week it seems like the shows keep getting better and better, and this week is no exception because we'll be able to have the executive producers, Zizar Bach and this on, and that's exciting for us. So for those of you that wanted to talk to them, and ask questions about the show, feel free to call in. And that number is 347-989-1473. That's 347-989-1473. Please feel free to call in with your questions. This week's webisode happened to be our first Big Dream adventure, ziplining from last April, kind of how we all got together, and maybe we'll be talking about that a little bit tonight with the executive producers. It was a great time, had by all, something that most of those people could have never done if they hadn't lost their weight. So I unfortunately was not quite at my at the weight limit, which was 250 pounds at the time, so I wasn't able to actually participate. I helped with recording and filming on ground, but we had a great time, and it was the beginning and the genesis of what this whole thing has become in the 6 months prior down the road. So it's kind of been a really great experience for us all. It's really getting really taking form and shape. I'd like to really talk at the beginning of this about our social media sites, in case those that don't know. First, you can check us out on Facebook on Big Dreams TV. That's our Facebook page. You can also check us out on Twitter, which is Real Big Dreams on Twitter. We also Twitter there. And we also have a YouTube page out there called Big Dreams Reality TV. So look for us out there. Those are the webisodes that you've been checking out there on YouTube. And this week, again, I said this week is zip lining. And along with our executive producers this week, we will also have on the show a advisory board member, Dr. Sarah Stein from Cleveland, Ohio, her wellness, her Stein Wellness Center that she has up and running there in Cleveland. It's a great place to check it out if you guys are in that area. I know we have a couple of followers that are up in that area, so you might want to check her out. We'll be talking about her book and some other things tonight and this evening. So, like I said, each and every single episode in the last, seems like the last month has been getting better and better. We have some real exciting shows planned coming up as well. We got some interesting and exciting stuff that we will be creating with webisodes too. So what we'd like to do is let's first bring in Z, and welcome Z. How you doing tonight? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I think we can. I can.
Awesome. Awesome. I didn't know you picked me up yet. Cool.
Yeah, I see you. Got you right there. Let's talk about right off the bat, and I see Kristen's about to join us as well. So, tell us about the genesis and how this whole idea of Big Dreams came about for those out there.
I'd love to. My favorite subject. I have been a documentary and narrative filmmaker for almost a decade, and I've been thinking about the problem of documentary and funding issues, which has really been exacerbated with our economy. And, you know, what I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm 56 years old. And, you know what, I still want to change the world. I never lost that somehow. And with my documentary work, that's what I've wanted to do. But with the funding situation, I've really been trying to figure out how to make all that work and to have a big impact and a sustained impact. And I went to a Art of the Pitch Fest in 2011 and learned a whole lot. I did a pitch, which I did miserably on, and was so embarrassed I wanted to skulk out of the room. But I think it was some sort of a master plan in the universe, because it really made me start to think about what it takes to do a pitch. And then I started thinking, one of the things that we learned is a lot of the cable shows and cable networks are doing reality TV, and I thought, well, is there a way to spin that so it's more documentary-oriented?
Right.
Lisa Ling's doing a great show now on OWN.
Yes.
She's a great example. She didn't have a series at that point, but we've seen her off and on through the years. She's great work. And so this had all been running around in my brain for a while. And one morning, very early in April, I literally woke up with this gift from the universe of the entire Big Dreams Life After Massive Weight Loss concept in my brain. Title, I knew who I needed to reach out to. I just, somehow it had just all been gifted in one big chunk. And
right.
The first thing I did was reach out to Kristen Lucas. Kristen and I have been circulating in different worlds. She's from Worcester. I'm from a little further south in Massachusetts. She's a fair bit younger than I am. She has different interests in film to date. But we knew of each other before, and we actually connected last fall when she was having some issues that she was going through regarding weight. And she reached out to me because she knew that I'd had a certain set of experiences. And we connected. And so we had kind of stayed in touch. So when all this was dropped in my brain, I thought, you know what, I need to call Kristen. This is the perfect person to work with because I knew I didn't have everything it took to pull this off. I knew that. And then I thought, okay, there's this guy I've been following on Facebook, which is yourself, Sir Drop-A-Lot. I don't know when I joined you. It was probably towards maybe like this time last year, I'm thinking. I don't remember exactly, but it had been a while. And I joined your massive weight loss group, and then I friended you on your personal page. And I had been noticing how many people were following you and what excitement there was and this amazing journey that you were on and doing. And so I thought, you know what, this guy is really might be the guy. For some reason, I just knew that you were the guy. I can't explain it. I think it's part of that gift that came from the universe. So I told Kristen about you. And I said, what do you think? And she said, as I recall, this is how it happened. If I'm not quite right, Kristen, please correct me. There's so much we've done so much in the past 6 months, my brain's a little foggy. And she said, yeah, let's do it. So I reached out to you in April. I don't know what date it was, probably maybe like around the 8th or 10th, something like that. And I said, well, here's who we are. Here's this plan that we have. We got eight free spots to go to the zip line place, Zor Outdoor, the Deerfield Zip Line in Chalmont, Mass. Because I told him the story about these folks that I knew, including myself, that had lost all this weight and could finally do this dream on our bucket list. And they said, you know what, we would love to sponsor you. We'll give you 8 free spots. Well, the dumb thing was I couldn't find 8 people to go. I can't believe it. But I got quite a few folks. And we went out and did it. You drove up from North Carolina. I don't know what in the world made you get in your car to come up here, but you did.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine many people would have because we must have sounded like we were insane. And you were on a little journey of your own at that time. You were going to be a guest on Oprah Winfrey's last weight loss show on her Oprah show on the network. So you were going to come by us and go on to Chicago after that, and which I also think was kind of fortuitous in a lot of ways because we really love Oprah. But well, you know what? We're so on the same page. I really dig her stuff. Anyway, that's how it all started. And we all we came together at the Deerfield Zip Line and did it. And unfortunately, as Steve said, you weren't able to get up there because you weren't quite down to 250 yet. But you know what, bud? We're going to go again in the spring when it's warm. warmer.
Yeah.
And then things just kept going from there. It's like I've always had the feeling that this show actually already exists on another plane somehow.
Right.
And it wants to play in our dimension. And
yeah.
So we've been...
Yeah, and I keep saying that it only has a mind of its own. It's almost like it's like trying to corral a herd of wild horses, and we just kind of steer it, and it just keeps going in its own direction and just has a mind of its own. But it's going, and we're just trying to... Like you like to say, we're like the overseers or
we're the shepherds. The shepherds,
yeah,
that's
the
word I like to use.
Exactly.
We're shepherding it. And you know what? What's so cool is even when we mess up, the universe doesn't let us mess
correct.
Up.
Yeah. Right. It self-corrects. Yeah. Which is good because, you know, every human is prone to make little mistakes here and there, but it seems to be like keeping us on the same track. So we got Kristen with us too. Welcome, Kristen. How are you doing tonight?
Hey. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yourself?
I'm doing great.
You better jump in because I'm going to
rattle too
much.
And that's why I want to ask you, because Kristen was really, so when we got there, I drove up with Kristen, or did I drive up with you? No, I drove up with you, Z, right? I don't even remember. Yeah, Kristen drove with
me. I don't remember. Yes, I think so.
I drove with you. Yeah, I drove with you.
Yep,
and Kristen drove, Mary drove with Kristen. So we got up there, and so the whole time Kristen is like, I don't know what Z's thinking of, but I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. I don't know if I'm going to get up there or not. But
I didn't know what ziplining was, so I was just going along for the ride. I'm like, I will go. I'll bring the camera. We'll do what we need to do. But I make no promises that I'm getting up there.
Right. That's exactly right. But so what actually like what made you decide you were going to do it? Was it my goading, or what was it?
I don't know. It definitely wasn't that sexy helmet that I had to put on or that lovely harness that I had to strap on. I don't know. I mean, I think all along I knew that whatever happened once I got up there, once I actually saw what it was and what I had to do, was that I could always say, forget it, I'm walking down. Because I'm a big girl and I can make my own decisions. So I figured out, well, I'll go along for it. I'll get up there and I'll see what it is. And, you know, we did our little training session on the ground, and that was fun and safe. And so I said, why not? And on we went in those little cars. And we went up to the top. And once we did the first one, there was no turning back because it was such a rush. And it was, you know, once you got past the initial... You know, okay, here I'm kind of letting go and I'm letting myself just free fall down this hill.
Right.
It was actually quite fun. And so at that point, there was really no turning back. So,
yeah.
That was,
and what
was
that?
The end.
Because I didn't get to experience that, Z. But so you're sitting on that first platform, you're sitting up there. How do you feel before you take that first step off and start going? I mean, what kind of rush was that?
Well, I'm sure it's different for everybody. But for me, I didn't even think about it. I just did it. I had decided a long time ago to just go for life. And I knew it was safe. They have a double rigging system. So you're actually hooked to two wires, not just one. You have redundancies on the harness. I'm like, you know what? I just can't see anything going wrong. And if it goes wrong, it was supposed to go wrong. So... I didn't even have a moment's hesitation stepping off of there. By the time I got to the other end, which is captured in our webisode this week, they asked me what I thought, and I was so overwhelmed. I'm just kind of like, I have to digest that. Because it was just like I was shaking by the time I got into it. I wasn't shaking when I started, but by the time I got to the other side, the adrenaline had, you know, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And I used to be – here's the funny thing. I used to be petrified of heights. For whatever reason, since I've lost my 205 pounds so far, I'm not afraid of heights anymore. I have no idea why. I don't know what changed.
I
wasn't one bit nervous
kind of
up
weird
there.
Because a couple other people that day also had height issues. Mary's got height issues, and I forgot, I don't know, one of the other ones kind of had issues too, but – And then, of course, along with this, with the Warrior Dash, George overcame his kind of height issues too. So I guess a lot of people have that that height issue. But you know what? It's like when we're talking about big dreams and like accomplishing them and doing these things that we've never thought we could do, and then we do them and we overcome these fears and these anxieties that we may have thought we had, and then once we're able to actually do them, we realize that, you know, I think that's it's kind of lends itself right into what Oprah says about trying to become our true authentic selves. You know, I think that a fear, or you know, that overcoming fear is a big step in even in the weight loss journey. You know, I know that when I started the journey, I had all these apprehensions and all these fears, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to be even successful, or you know, if you're not willing to take those first steps, and that's even like with any kind of road to recovery, whether it's addiction or obesity, or weight, or illness, or whatever, you got to be able to take that step, that leap off the proverbial ledge, like you guys did with the zip lining. So, go ahead.
One, you know, the show Big Dreams, Life After Massive Weight Loss, is about the dreams that we have. We might have had them when we were thin and now we couldn't do them. Sometimes the dreams change. Sometimes we have new dreams. Sometimes we don't know what our dreams are. And I believe, and I think all of us believe, and I hope the world will discover that it's not about losing the weight, because that's just the thing that starts you on your journey. It's what happens afterwards, which is the real true journey, I believe, the authentic self, I believe that's what's going to get us well and keep us well from putting that weight back on, because statistics say 95%+ of the folks who lose all that weight put it back on again. And I believe it's because they've been focused on the weight. I am hoping that with our show, we can help people focus on life after that and meaningful things. Our show is going to have a lot of things like zip lining and, you know, bungee jumping or whatever, and it's also going to have really serious things. We may have people who have dreamed of going to Africa to help build a school or dig a well, but their weight has never allowed them to do that, let alone get on an airplane. But, you know,
have a baby, or, I mean, there's all kinds of things that just maybe might seem like normal things to some people, but they might be these big dreams that these people have always had and always wanted to do and never had the chance to do. And I think that's where the dream and the whole show concept kind of takes on its own unique concept. And I think it does lend itself to being something that's new and different that we haven't seen out there yet. So
that's right. And even the fun stuff that we do, like zip lining or bungee jumping, it's not about us having fun. It's not about that. I'm not averse to that. You know, a lot of us who've been extremely obese have not been able to have normal fun like most folks. And
Right. Okay,
I'm glad we're going to have fun, but what it's really about is that letting go and breaking through. And we might have had a physical challenge, but you know what? The mental challenge, I believe, is much greater. And you know what? If we can do those things, my gosh, what else can we do?
Yeah, it's true. You know, and I just did one of those little ones the other day when we went to, where Mary DJs, but I actually got up on the dance floor for the first time. I had done that in over 20 years. And, you know, I was scared to death.
Wow.
And I've been going there on a regular basis. But every time she asks for, you know, get up and go dance, I'm like, no way. There's no way I'm doing that.
Wow.
And then last week, so she finally, you know, she's asked again like she does every week. And then I just, you know, there's something in my head just that, just go for it, you know, because, you know, it was that thing, well, maybe I look like an ass, but then this little thing kind of kicked in and said, well, who cares what you look like? it's about overcoming that and going ahead and doing it and having fun, you know, and not caring and kind of like you said, kind of like breaking through those little things. And, you know, I did it. And now I realize that the better I get in a physical shape, the better and easier it's going to be able to do that again. And I had always liked to dance before. And I'm not saying that I'm really good at it, but, you know, it's those little things like you've done with the belly dancing. It's all those little things that you want to do and you overcome. Those become those little, I call them sometimes the little big dreams, but they're still dreams that you've got. So Kristen,
good for you.
Yeah. So Kristen, tell us a little more. I mean, what was your overall experience once we were done with that zip lining? How did it change you, and how was that experience for you?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, it was a rush. Like, we were all so excited and proud of each other and proud of ourselves that, you know, we had the courage to do that. You know, we started at the top of the mountain and we worked our way down, and we did, you know, we crossed bridges and we did rappels, and, you know, I didn't even know what a rappel was, and never mind the fact that, you know, we had to literally stand on this platform, lean back with our butts over the side and just drop. And that's just, it's not anything, for me, it wasn't anything I ever had the desire to do. Like Z, it was on her, you know, quote unquote, weight loss bucket list. It wasn't necessarily on my bucket list. I had never thought about it, but it was that whole sense of, wow, I just did something that A, I never thought I could do, didn't know I wanted to do, didn't know I could do. And we were all just so, you know, like, wow, like high-fiving each other and just kind of proud of each other that we had kind of accomplished it. And there was a sense of bonding that, you know, here were all these chicks, you know, sorry, all the boys were on the ground, but,
that's,
you know,
right.
this complete different, diverse group of women, you know, there were new people there. Z and I knew each other. There were some new people we didn't know, and we all had kind of bonded through this experience together, and it was amazing. And, you know, I think the picture that was at the end of the webisode kind of shows it was a whole bunch of smiling women that had, you know, lost weight and were proud of themselves and had kind of accomplished a quote-unquote big dream. And it was really the beginning of the whole show. And that was the day that we were like, wow, we're on to something. You know, there
yep.
definitely is something here that, you know, other people need to experience, and we want to share it with them. And, you know, again, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, we've obviously, all of us have had many conversations with many different people. We've gotten lots of different stories sent to us on email, you know, ones that made us laugh, ones that made us cry. Everything
right.
from, I just want to have a baby now that I lost weight, to, oh my goodness, I can actually tie my shoes now and my kid doesn't have to tie
yep.
them for me. So
yep.
the zip lining was just kind of a symbol of what we could be with this whole idea of the show. And, like, I'm not going to lie, that was the day that I was like, okay, Z wasn't lying. There's something here, and this proves it. And, you know, it just gave us energy to kind of move forward to where we are today. So, yeah, I mean, it was not like I want to go, you know, jumping out of airplanes or anything, but baby steps.
No?
You know, it's
really?
Definitely, no.
I'll take care of that for you.
I'm going to let you guys do that.
Yeah, I did, though. Because it's so funny because you were talking about that. A friend of mine from high school is talking to me on Facebook today, and she and her husband do this thing, like, religiously. The guy's got, like, 2,600 jumps in him in, like, the last 25 years. He does it, like, all the time. And so she got me to start looking at pictures and stuff, and now I'm even more jacked up because I had a couple friends in Atlanta had just talked to me, and they had gone and done it again. And, you know, they said it's the same thing as you said with the zip line. You're a little apprehensive there for that first step off, that first little thing, but like halfway down that first zip line, or like they say, like 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds into that free fall, It's a huge rush, and adrenaline takes over, and then everything else is like gravy after that.
Well,
so,
and it's like, it's like, not that you can relate, Steve, but it's like having a baby. Like, okay,
right.
once you have the baby in you, it's coming out. So it's like once you step off that platform, there's nowhere to go but down. So all you do is just go with it and enjoy, you know, the ride. And I actually just remembered something. Remember the day that we were at Six Flags? You know, I want you to talk a little bit. I'm gonna start interviewing you and flip it on you, because you actually accomplished one of your big dreams that day that you and my son went to Six Flags. And you almost didn't go through with it because you were afraid. You weren't sure that the thing was going to be able to come over you.
Mind erasing.
And
whatever
that contraption was. And it was like once you did it, remember we went over to that other ride, and this is a ride that I will not go on, or don't want to go on, the one with the big drop. And I said, if you can fit in that, I'll go on. And you just barely couldn't fit, and I was like, deep down inside, I was like, oh, phew, I don't have to go.
Yeah, right.
But I was gonna go because I bet you, I was like, if you can get that thing over, and I'm like, okay, well, now I'm in trouble because next time I'm gonna have to go.
That's right. Next time we go, you know I'm gonna
whether
fit in
the
that
Superman
thing
or the
gonna...
Batman or whatever.
Well, I'll go.
Yeah. I mean, it and it's just like in the teaser trailer or when I got off, I was like, let's go again. You know, it was like that whole thing. You know, once you've done and you've accomplished something like that, you've accomplished the dream. And then that's something that I had looked forward to for doing for over 20 years again. And now, of course, roller coasters are so much more sophisticated. And I mean, that one that we went on there, it really even puts you like in zero gravity for a couple of seconds. So you basically sit there and you could almost feel weightless, which is as close as I think any kind of heavy person, especially in my case, is almost 650. To feel weightless is just like incredible. So I see now that we are finally joined by our advisory board member, Dr. Sarah Stein, so we'd like to welcome her on Big Dreams Radio. Welcome, Dr. Sarah.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Hi, guys. This is the first time I get to talk in person to you all these emails and Facebooks. Hi, what a miraculous, miraculous recovery we've all had, all of us. Isn't it something? I really want to congratulate the three of you for coming up with the kind of program that really demonstrates what it's like to transform yourself, to lose weight, to have immersed yourself in some incredible challenge, which is what you've been talking about, is the representations of that. You know, doing a zip line is a tiny microcosm of what it feels like to lose 100 or 200 or 400 pounds, which is a huge, long challenge. It's not any than immersing yourself in some kind of schooling or training or becoming an artist or getting married or having children. It's life altering. And so to be able to have a program that shows that rather than something that beats up on fat people is just a delight. And I'm thrilled to help out any way I can. I just think it's terrific.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
It really is inspiring.
And you know, all of our advisors that we have are like yourself, have lost large amounts of weight, and I think that's something that's different than any other show out there. We have some advisors that have not lost a lot of weight, and we make sure that we classify them so people know which one. Our core folks, our advisors, have lost huge amounts of weight. Our associates, like Dr. Amon, Dr. Katzen, the plastic surgeon who specializes in the body lifts for the formerly super obese, are tied in with us. Some of them have lost a little weight, and even I was thinking, I left out of our business plan. Even our business advisors, EOS, Ideas, one of those guys lost 100 pounds.
You're right. So, and that was the thing, Sarah, that we were adding that up in our pitch plan. We realized that the total amount of weight is just under a ton.
Well, it's over a ton if you add Marcus, Steve.
I was just
it's over
say,
a ton if you add Marcus.
Him,
Yep,
isn't that
absolutely.
Something? It's really, it's a spectacular accomplishment. It really is. And it's like I said, it's life-altering, it's transforming, it's inspiring to people who are listening or watching. I think, you know, the big question that people have is how did you do it? How do we do this? What should I do? And I'll tell you that my inspiration, my challenge doesn't sound like vertical free falling. So you're probably never going to catch me on any kind of those big drops. Just the idea that I don't think that's for me. But what?
Right.
But what I let me tell you a little bit about my philosophy on obesity, because
yeah.
it's different. And so my challenge is to completely transform the prevailing paradigm of obesity treatment that exists in this country, in the medical community, in the fitness community, in the wellness community, among dietitians, which is, of course, eat less, move more. And as Z accurately pointed out, that's got about a 5% success rate. So, you know, if God forbid you had to go to the oncologist for cancer treatment, and the oncologist, you know, said, here, I have a great treatment, it fails 95% of the time, you'd run out the door to get to someone
right.
else. And yet this is the paradigm that exists, and this is, you know, and what happens is that, you know, as I say to people, eat less, move more is a great treatment for that 5% of people, and we're not sure who they are, but it's also a great treatment for people who are overweight. So for people who have modest amounts of weight to lose, maybe 20 pounds, maybe even 30 pounds, it's a great treatment, and it's just a matter of finding the Eat Less, Move More program that resonates with you and that you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you won't keep it up. But for people with obesity, it's really important to understand that obesity is a very complex medical condition, multifaceted, and there isn't one right way to lose weight. It's also a chronic disease. And so losing 100 pounds today doesn't mean that I couldn't gain it, start gaining it back tomorrow or even today still. And so the what worked for me yesterday may not work for me tomorrow, and I may need some other intervention, some other tool. I'm sorry to kind of scoop the program for a minute, but I feel like this is really important, and I want people to understand this, that the foundations of obesity really are 8 different points. One of which is chronic inflammation and pain. It's an inflammatory disorder, much like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or other inflammatory disorders. It includes altered metabolism. So very often I'll have patients who say they hardly eat and they can't lose weight. And the difference is, and here's where having been 100 pounds overweight makes a difference, I know they're telling me the truth. The average primary care doctor thinks that they're not telling the truth, but I know they are, because their metabolism has been so altered into a store fat metabolism rather than a burn fat metabolism that they can't lose weight, even if they're only...
And my situation was exactly the same, doctor. I mean, I literally was not eating a lot at all, and for years. In fact, my family was like, they had to goad me into actually trying to eat things, and I was like, no, I don't want to, and of course, I still wasn't losing any weight, and it's like you said, I mean, I was drinking excessively, so that is exactly where my calories and stuff came from, but just that's exactly what it was. My metabolism was so screwed up. My brain
yeah.
was so screwed up that it was just storing fat. It was like
it
a constant.
Absolutely was.
It was
right.
almost like a bear hibernating, right?
Exactly. It's exactly what it's like. I tell
yeah.
people that if you're under huge amounts of stress, or your body's under huge amounts of stress, you essentially turn yourself into a camel, and you store
right.
fat efficiently, very well
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
The other foundations of obesity, marked nutrient deficiencies, and so people have terrible malnutrition. Obesity is a state of being overfed but undernourished.
Right.
And so as a result, people become very ill. Food sensitivities, about 60% of people with obesity have food sensitivities. Most commonly it's gluten, wheat gluten, dairy, corn, and soy. And about 40% of people do not have them, those lucky those lucky folks. But particularly in the setting of someone who's been heavy since early childhood, we look for the food sensitivities because that's probably where it's coming from. Altered genetic expression. We like to think that we have genetic obesity. You know, my people are big, my parents were that way, it runs in my family.
Right.
But the reality is that only about 1 in 7,000 cases of obesity is an actual genetic obesity. And those are usually children who present who have other developmental disabilities included with their obesity syndrome, and they usually present, you know, those are the kids who are 75 pounds when they're two or three years old. And that's
right.
Not what we're talking about. I mean, 6,999 of us don't have genetic obesity. That said,
right.
It is our genes that run our bodies, and there are thousands of genetic proteins and genetic expressions that tell our bodies and all our trillions of cells what to do. And all kinds of things can flip the switch. Genes are like on and off switches, and you can switch them in the wrong direction just by eating something that you're allergic to. You can switch them in the wrong direction by being under tremendous stress and having your stress hormones elevated, by not getting enough sleep if you have sleep apnea. There's all kinds of things, by having any kind of toxic exposures, which brings me to the next foundation, which is toxins.
And fat as a whole stores toxins, and that's where it, you know, so if you do have an overly toxic body, and especially, you know, of course, in modern cases where they're treating obesity, you're putting in a handful of different medications that people are taking as well for all the conditions they have. Your body really is virtually kind of toxic as well. I know mine was very, I don't know if I was over acidic or over pH, something was like really screwed up with me as well, but yeah, the fat stores all those toxins, too, and that's what Dr. Eichmann keeps saying. You know, the more fat you have in your body, the more toxic you really are. So
the more toxic you are, and plus all of the things we're exposed to. So, for example, we look at plastic bottles and the linings of cans, and we have this bisphenol A, BPA, that people have heard about. Well, BPA is a weak estrogen agonist, meaning it raises estrogen levels in women and in men, and estrogen makes people fat. So here you are drinking your water because you're trying so hard to get all your water in out of this plastic bottle that's actually making everything worse.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy? But it is the world we live in. Another reason for obesity, a foundation of obesity, is infection, and they actually have identified a few different viruses that cause obesity, most commonly the adenovirus 36, which is kind of a common cold virus. It's something that some people will have and just think of the sniffles. Other people will have really a profound viral infection, and they'll go get tested for mono, and it'll turn out it wasn't mono, but they really are, you know, quite debilitated for a month or so.
Those people are like almost chronically sick all the time too, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. When people with adenovirus 36, which is 1 in 3, and in Italy it's actually, it's 30% in the U.S., and in Italy it's 70%, those people with obesity tend to be on average 50 pounds heavier than someone else with obesity. So now you're talking about causes of extreme obesity, and it wouldn't surprise me if any one of us wound up with antibodies, you know, showing an old infection to adeno 36. We don't treat the virus, but it gives kind of a sense of why something is happening. And it's really nice for people to understand this isn't your fault. This isn't your bad character, or, you know, that you're lazy, or, you know, you're eating everything at sight. These are things that are happening that, yes, there are interventions you will have to do, and you will have to make changes, and some of them may be very huge changes for you, but you didn't do this to yourself. And that's important for people to understand. And then finally, there's altered brain chemistry, and I know that, you know, that's something that Daniel Amen talks about in a great deal. And here's the good news about all this. The good news is all this, that as you lose weight and as you start to eat really clean, healthy, nutrient-dense foods, these foundations change back. So you can heal yourself from obesity. You can heal your body. You can heal your brain. It's just a beautiful thing that we do. We're healing machines, and it's just a matter of giving ourselves the exact right foods and nutrients and supplements and whatever we have to do. Some of it may be movement. There's a whole science of sedentary physiology that shows that muscle cells actually catabolize, meaning they kind of dissolve. If you sit for 2 hours, that's not about obesity. That's just about sitting.
Yep. Yeah.
So we're trying to get
and, you know, once you get to that super obese size, like I was and many of these people that I've been mentoring do as well, you actually, that's exactly what happens. The brain, not the brain, but the muscles atrophy. I mean, they dissolve. They break down. I know that first meeting that I had with a physical therapist, which actually in the hospital, she made such a great analogy, but she said, you know, your muscles are kind of like raisins now, and we need to turn them back into grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we work them and the more we blow them back up, that's also going to help in your fat metabolism too, is because more muscle obviously helps to burn the fat as well. So movement, and you can tell by my situation, even the slightest bit of movement, even sitting in your own recliner and just doing little small basic movements to begin with, it's definitely going to start a change in the metabolism, and that's the beginning, you know. All those little first steps that we take,
absolutely,
whether they are in nutrition ways or exercise ways, are all going to lead to a down the road life transformation as they occur. You know,
absolutely, and with a better chance of success. I was going to say, with a better chance of success, the smaller steps that are easier to integrate into lifestyle and don't require a lot of concentrations are the ones that stick. So when you embrace, you know, a diet or an exercise program that basically takes all of your energy and all of your concentration for the day and you can't do anything else, that's a losing proposition. You're not going to be able to stick with that because life will intervene. But when all you have to do is think about walking 3 more steps than you walked yesterday, or drinking 1 more cup of water, or, you know, something like that, you can do that. That's not interfering with your life.
If I can jump in here, this touches on one of the foundational points of Big Dreams, in that, like that old African saying, it takes a village to raise a child, I think it takes everybody in our communities to move towards getting healthy and staying healthy, because it seems for most of us it's been a very painful solitary journey. But you know what? We've hit a critical mass in this country and in many countries around the planet where it's everybody's got the problem almost. And, they always talk about it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. Well, you know what? It is a lifestyle. We need to look at it as making little adjustments in our lifestyle. And if our neighbor's doing it and their neighbor's doing it, then it, like, becomes the normal new lifestyle.
Isn't it nice? And it's exciting, too, when it's like that. It really is. So, and then the other piece of it, which we work on, is just, well, of course, the psychological. I think there's a misunderstanding about emotional eating, because cravings are most often physiologic. They're coming from nutrient deficiencies in the body, and they're not coming because you're depressed or upset. The depression, the upset, most often is actually secondary to the nutrient deficiencies. But then people think I think the other thing we need to talk about is just the spiritual aspect of existing as an obese person in what is still a thin society. The reality is it's not a thin society, but it's kind of the people who are writing the rules are writing it as a thin society, even people with weight. I mean, we discriminate against ourselves as much as thin people discriminate. You know, the incidence of bullying of children with obesity is in the 60%. So I think it's about 63 or 67% right now. We thought in psychiatry that that would go down as more children began to struggle with obesity, and we're close to about 20%, 17 to 19% right now. And in fact, just the opposite occurred. It went up. And so more children are being bullied, not less. It's not worse. It's not better because more people are experiencing this. It's worse. So not only do people experience this kind of discrimination from others, but they experience it from like-minded, like-bodied people that you think would be supportive, but really not. And then the other group that is problematic, and I just want to mention this, is healthcare providers. So you know, the current data on healthcare providers is that over 60% of healthcare providers really don't like taking care of fat people. Now that's a problem. No. Because who are you supposed to go to if you want to lose weight? You're going to go to the doctor, but the doctor doesn't want you there.
Why a lot of them become anti-doctor. I mean, I know I got to that point where I didn't even want to go and see the doctor because that's exactly what you get. You get that, you know, it's this attitude like, you know, well, I can't help you, and why, you know, it's just this laissez-faire attitude that they have, and it's like, I mean, I've gotten some of these stories, like when my story first came out, I got these emails of these people, like the doctor just basically told me, I can't help you. You just might as well just go home and die. And I think healthcare providers and I mean, I even know how, when I got to the rehab, I got there and, you know, they looked at me as if I was a dead man walking. Maybe I was just waiting to die. And they almost like treated me with kick gloves, like they didn't really even want to help me. I mean, there were some there that did, I have to say. And in fact, there's some of these that I'll even talk about in my book. But for the most part, like you said, just a lot of them just didn't want to even take the time to actually care for you. And you're right, it's a big problem.
Big problem.
Some of them don't know what to do as well.
That's absolutely true,
because all they have, the only tool they have in their toolkit is eat less, move more, or bariatric surgery. Well, there's this huge plethora of interventions in between eat less, move more, and bariatric surgery. And bariatric surgery is a wonderful tool for some people, and it also can fail some people. So, you know, it's yet another tool, and there's no guarantees on it. You still have to do the work before and during and after. But we have to make it easy for you to do the work. If we're leaving you malnourished, then we're writing your prescription for failure because you can't do it. Your brain's going to override everything you try to do in order to get those essential nutrients.
One of the things that our show is hoping to do is help build those communities out there because you know, we really advocate for really healthy eating, especially organics and things like that. And a lot of people say, well, gosh, I can't afford it, or gosh, I can't get it. And one of the things that we hope to do is help communities develop where they make the resources known. Maybe if somebody's got a huge garden, they can help somebody else or get a share in a local farm. Or, you know, a lot of people don't even know about these things, and especially in our inner city neighborhoods where you may not even have a patch of grass, you know. So that's one of the things that we hope to do with Big Dreams out there, other than just the TV show, is to help communities come together for support and to help just, you know, change the way life looks here in this country.
Right, food desert.
Yeah, because there are a lot of these programs that are going on. I know we talked to several people when we were in L.A. and talking about inner cities and stuff, because there are some of these programs that are starting to develop in the major cities around this country that actually are trying to do this. They're trying to get organic, safe, clean foods available to the lower-income, underprivileged people. Because let's face it, and when you look across the board statistically, underprivileged, the poor, and where obesity prevails a lot. And it's in minorities, and it's in less affluent communities and neighborhoods. And you see it, I mean, I see it right here in Worcester. All you have to do is drive down the street, and you get to a certain area in town, and you see that there's a problem. And when you see what's available, it's that cheap fast food and the stuff that, you know, it's 99 cents. And I, you know, I still beat my head against the wall all the time because I'm like, why can't we change that? Why can't we make more healthful food available and less expensive than, and I think it all comes with education. You know, everybody talks about, and you've talked about that too, Doctor, that, you know, you have that little recipe that everyone says, you know, eat less and exercise more and whatever. But, and those are two great things that we need to do in order to address the obesity problem on a whole. But there's more to it. And I think education and education in the whole realm of it is hugely important. And that's how I really think that's one of the things that we can do with this show is really help educate some of these people, not even the ones that are affected themselves, but maybe the other ones. And like Z said, the community involved and other people, until maybe we break some of these stigmata, these stigmas that we have about obesity. And because just like Dr. Sarah said, it's not always about people engorging themselves. There's a plethora of things that go along with people becoming obese. I know mine was had a lot to do with hormones and again, vitamin deficiencies. You know, the things like with a vitamin D deficiency. I mean, you talk about that in your book. You know, there's a lot of different things that help affect our brains. And when you have altered brain chemistry, it clouds our judgment. It restricts us from making the right decisions sometimes, you know. What are the steps that we need to take in order to help repair these mixed signals that our brains receive? And how important does that nutrition play a part in all that?
Well, and still live your life. So what I want my folks to do is I want them to be able to do the program that they're on that's the most healthful for them individually 90% of the time, and the rest of the time live life. But if the reality is you're eating a cake every day because every day is somebody's birthday, that's not living your life. That's being, you know, being a slave to the food. And so that has to be addressed. Here's the questions I tell people to ask their doctor. And this is true for anybody, but particularly true for someone who wants to lose a large amount of weight, which is, number one, are there medical reasons, including medications and particularly psychiatric medications, that are causing me to gain weight? Number two is, am I hypothyroid? Is there something wrong with my thyroid? And a lot of times people have a sluggish thyroid that actually would benefit from a little bit of medication or treatment, and it's ignored because, well, you're heavy, so your thyroid's going to be sluggish. But it actually would help. If you can just get that first 10 pounds off, that makes a difference. Vitamin D deficiency, very important, as is insulin resistance. And then finally, the last question is, can I exercise? Because the answer might be no. No, you can't exercise. It's too hard on your joints. That doesn't mean you can't move, and so that's why I refer to it as movement instead of exercise, because
right.
There's still some body part you could move in some way, even if it's just dancing in the chair.
Right, you got it. Exactly. Absolutely true. How big does, in your experience, in your practice, how often does things like depression play in keeping us from making the changes necessary for us to even start our roads to recovery? Because I know there's a lot of them out there that, you know, they want to start, but then they just like, you know, I feel so depressed, and I don't know if I can do it, and I feel so bad about myself.
Right. Well, and that's why we start with very small changes, because when you're depressed, if somebody asks you to do some huge transformation, they might as well ask you to jump across the Grand Canyon. You can't do it.
Right.
But if somebody said to you, could you drink two more glasses? I'll give you an example. I had a young girl who is autistic. She's about 20 years old, and she weighed around 400 pounds and lived on pizza, cheeseburgers, and big gulps. And so all I did was correct her vitamin deficiencies and her thyroid, nothing else, because she lived in a group home and I wasn't going to change the culture of, you know, where she lived. And in 2 months later, down 18 pounds. And then I said to her, well, how many big gulps a day do you drink? She said, 4. And I said, well, could you drink 3 big gulps and 1 water? She said, yeah, I can do that. And she came back in 2 months later, 6 pounds down. Now, this isn't rapid weight loss, but we've already achieved that magic 5%, heading for 10% that you're looking for to change her health. At which point she was down, you know, over 25 pounds, and she said to me, my mom's going to take me to the Y. So I didn't, as the doctor say to her, go exercise or move more. She said, I feel better. My mom's going to take me to the Y. And then I said to her, good. And I said, you know, is there any kind of vegetable that you like? Yeah, she said, I like salads. Could you eat a salad every day? Sure. So do you see, with very little effort, these tiny changes are leading to improved health in her body. And it's not hurting her, and she's not suffering. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Absolutely. So, you know, like most of us, even maybe even when we were still at our large sizes, we had things that we wished we could do. Again, like we've been talking about in the beginning, even do for the first time, and better experience. But most of us, actually, almost all of the people that I've been talking to, have some sort of bucket list, some sort of these big dreams, as we keep talking about. So do you have any of your own bucket list things that you've done since you lost your weight? Or
I have some traveling bucket list things, and I have some things that I have done in the past years ago when I was in better condition that I'd like to resume. I'd love to go skiing again. So, I mean, that's like number one. Like, I can't wait to go skiing again. And that really for me is more, at this point, less about weight and more about physical fitness. And so that's a huge challenge for me. Traveling is, there's different places I'd like to travel. I'd like to, I wrote a little book, but I'd like to write kind of the textbook on obesity the way I see it. And I don't know. I just like to be able to kick back and really have a good time. I'd like a pool in my backyard. That'd be great.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
I would love to have a pool.
Swimming is huge. I mean, I'm a big proponent of swimming. I mean, you talk about a full-bodied exercise. That is definitely something that is well and good. That was one of the things that actually motivated me in the beginning to start. One of the things that I kind of set as a goal, an initial goal, was to get to the pool at the YMCA. You know, so
isn't
for
that
first initial, yeah, that first initial year, it was all about getting to that point where I could actually walk in there and get back into that pool, because obviously once you get in that water and that weight gets displaced. And it was just a great place to start my exercise in earnest, because once you've got that weight off, and that's what I've been trying to tell some of these heavier people that I've been talking to and mentoring, you know, if they can get to that point where they can get in the water, then they can start the water exercise. And I know that makes a big, big difference on your joints, and it definitely helps with the pain and the alleviation of those. Of that, you know, because like you said in your book, you know, there's a lot of pain that goes along with being severely overweight.
Terrible pain.
And so many people don't really understand that it's actually pain that kind of spurred me on in my whole recovery. I mean, pain that started setting in with the neuropathy became so severe that it was almost unbearable anymore. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you start to go through that kind of pain, it becomes almost like a do or die situation. Either you're going to do something or the alternative is not so great. But I was just going to say, Z, do you have some questions?
I do. Dr. Stein, would you tell us if a person was going to go to a healthcare provider for getting started on some help with weight issues, can you paint a picture of what they should be looking for and asking for, what kind of a doctor they might want to have? If they're in Cleveland, they should go to the Stein Wellness Centers, but most of us aren't in Cleveland.
Finding a provider that's going to work with you with your weight is like dating. And so I think that the most important advice I can give to people is that you want to feel like you're respected as a human being. And if you feel like you're not, and you feel like you need extra time, and of course primary care doctors only get about, 12 to 15 minutes for an appointment, then what you say to them is, I understand that you can't do this because you don't have the time, but do have someone you can send me to. You want to assemble a team of providers to work with you on your weight, not just one person. Because to go to a primary care doctor and say, here is this, no pun intended, enormous problem that I need to solve, and I know we only have 8 more minutes, that's not fair to you, and it's not fair to the provider. Better to say, I've already done the dietitian route. I've already done Weight Watchers. I've already done all these things. What do I do now? And here's good news. Let me give good news, which is that Medicare is set to approve intensive behavioral treatment for obesity.
Wow.
And pay insurance on that. And how goes Medicare? Goes the entire insurance world. Medicaid and all private insurers will follow. So the good news is that you'll be able to go to somebody and have behavioral health treatment related to weight, which never before was covered. And we don't have to make up a story of depression. It really can just be about your weight. We can just focus on that. So I'm thrilled that should happen probably, I'm guessing, early 2012.
Wow.
It needs to happen. That's a very, very positive thing, I think. Because
yeah, it really is.
Go ahead, Ben.
Is there any kind of association or something that clinics like you have belong to that people could look for to find them in their communities, or...?
Good question. I think most of us belong to Obesity Help, which is an advocacy group. And there's the Bariatric Medicine Association, Bariatric Surgery Associations, but we don't all belong to those, or it's kind of different if you're a surgeon or internist or psychiatrist. I really think, since you have to work with your primary care doctor, that's probably the place to start, because you're going to require, as you lose weight, many, many medication changes in a good sense. There was a time I was on, 16, 17 medications, 16 pills. I have no idea. Now I'm on 22 vitamins. So, okay, the number didn't go down, but I only take one pill
a
day.
I just switched now to all the supplements.
I know. It just sort of switched. But the joy is that I feel good and I'm just taking... I mean, I am taking the supplements because I need them because I had so many nutrient deficiencies, but I'm not on all these medications, so these medications often have to get weaned off or changed or transferred over. So you really do want to work with a primary care doctor who's going to be helpful and available to you, although might not be the one that you're actually seeing about your weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would start, is to assemble yourself a team of people that you like and they like you.
You know, you just brought up a question that I know is on Steve's list, so I'm going to ask it, Steve. What input do you have on the news in the last couple of weeks about women who take vitamins being at more risk of death when they're older? What's all the scoop on that stuff? Do you know?
A lower life expectancy.
Yeah. I believe that those were normal weight women. But if I recall, those are normal weight women, and we've seen that actually with the prostate cancer study more recently. So the question is, do normal weight healthy people need more vitamins? And the answer seems to be maybe not. There's what we call a bimodal curve. Do people who have terrible nutrient deficiencies need supplements? You bet. Do people who don't have any nutrient deficiencies need vitamins? Seems like maybe they don't. The real issue with that study was that iron, specifically iron, was detrimental to the health, to people's health. And we know that, that extra iron is a huge workload on your heart and your blood vessels, and it tends to lead to things like blood clotting and liver disease and different problems in circulation. So we know that too much iron. So these folks were taking vitamins with iron, and they didn't really need it. And so maybe that's what happened. So I think the question is, if you took 400 people with extreme obesity and said, well, what happens when they take vitamins, that would be the study I would want to see, because I'm guessing they would actually do better.
If you wanted to be on vitamins, though, who in the world gives you the right advice? I mean, your general healthcare providers, very few of them I've found, can actually give you a lot of advice on supplements. Who do you go to find out that kind of information?
Well, once again, we're back to the primary care provider. I draw a lot of blood on people. They really don't like that, but I have to, because I can't look at somebody and know what their vitamin A level is. There's no other way for me to do it. And I don't want to give them additional vitamin A if they don't need it.
So you're using diagnostics to do that, then. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to take, you know, a sort of a standard average vitamin pill, if you think, but that may not touch the level of deficiency that you have. And these are serious deficiencies. So, you know, vitamin A deficiency, which is really common in obesity, you know, found in yellow and orange and red vegetables particularly, vitamin A deficiency is the fifth leading cause of blindness in the world. It's not something you want to fool around with and guess and think, you know, the whatever, 1,500 units of vitamin A that's in a vitamin pill, and you actually are the one who needs 20,000 a day because you have fatty liver disease.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a really, you know, I hate to keep pushing people back to primary care, and I'm not pushing them entirely back. I'm just saying somebody has to get a grasp on the medical aspects of the obesity.
Right.
What do you think about alternative medicine people for obesity? Do you see certain areas that have seemed more helpful than others, or do you have thought on that?
It's interesting. It's kind of interesting. I'm actually pretty much against a lot of herbal treatments that are included in some of the holistic providers, and this is why. Usually people with obesity are hyperinflamed. It's an inflammatory disorder. And in the setting of 60% of people with multiple food sensitivities, you start to give somebody herbs which may not actually be recognizable by their DNA. You know, if your people are from Northern Europe and you're eating a Brazilian rainforest berry, your body may say, what is this? A lot of these herbs and supplements are, quote, to, you know, enhance your immune system, but your immune system is already on overdrive. You're already turbocharged. So it's actually going to make things worse and not better. So, you know, I'm very conservative with supplements. I give people what they need and not anything else. And that's my feeling about holistic providers and naturopaths, is that it should be just what you need and not a whole lot more. And my 200-pound Newfoundland, who's
one
ounce overweight, has come in to announce to me, Mommy, I have to go tinkle. So with that,
on that note, we're running over a little bit anyway. So, but we definitely want to thank you, Dr. For joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dr. Sal. He's calling. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I look forward to talking again. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye.
Wow,
right,
that
was
guys.
Awesome.
That is awesome. And we definitely have to have her on again, and maybe even as a regular basis caller. Because
she said she'd come on once a month.
That's
awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So we'd like to thank those of you listening out there. And as always, peace and love plus health equal harmony. And stay tuned for next week's episode. And don't forget also our Indiegogo page. That's one thing I didn't mention at the top of the hour. You can go to indiegogo.com/ all capital letters, big-dreams-2. And that's our fundraising site to help us keep trying to make the show become a real reality. So
swag there.
Yes, you can get your t-shirts, your bracelets, some hoodies, and maybe there's some other stuff that we'll be making available, and you can become a big dreamer. And stay tuned for next week's webisode. I'm not sure which exactly one we're going to be playing, but stay tuned. And keep checking us out and spread the word on Facebook about us, Big Dreams TV, and Twitter, Real Big Dreams. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Mountain Man, for running the board, and we'll see you later.